Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with John Flavel's The Mystery of Providence. And we are currently in an overall part number three, application of the doctrine of providence. And we're still in chapter 12, practical problems in connection with providence. And last time we did a part two, which had the following point, how may a Christian be supported in waiting upon God while providence delays the performance of the mercies to him for which he has prayed, long prayed and waited? And that was the only point of that section last time. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on in the chapter with the next point for this time. And I'll go ahead and start. The next point is, or question, how may a Christian discern when a providence is sanctified and comes from the love of God to him? Now, there are two sorts or kinds of providences which come to men in this world, the issues and events of which are vastly different, yea, contrary to each other. To some, all providences are overruled and ordered for good, according to that blessed promise, Romans 8:28. Not only things that are good in themselves, as ordinances, graces, duties, and mercies, but things that are evil in themselves, as temptations, afflictions, and even their sins and corruptions, shall turn in the issue, or in the end, to their advantage and benefit. For though sin is so intrinsically and formally evil in its own nature, that in itself it is not capable of sanctification, yet, out of this worst of evils, God can work good to his people. And though he never makes sin the instrument of good, yet his providence may make it the occasion of good to his people, so that spiritual benefits may, by the wise overruling of providence, be occasioned by it. And so for afflictions of all kinds, the greatest and sorest of them, under the influence of providence, bring a great deal of good to the saints, and that not only as the occasions, but as the instruments and means of it. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, Isaiah 27, verse 9, that is, by the instrumentality of this sanctified affliction. To others, nothing is sanctified, either as an instrument or occasion of any spiritual good, but as the worst things are ordered to the benefits of the saints, so the best things wicked men enjoy do them no good. Their prayers are turned into sin, Psalm 109, verse 7. The ordinances are the savor of death, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16. The grace of God turned into wantonness, Jude verse 4. Christ himself, a rock of offense, 1 Peter 2 verse 8. Their table, a snare, Psalm 69 verse 22. Their prosperity, their ruin, Proverbs 1 verse 32. As persons are, so things work for good or evil. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, Titus 1, verse 15. Seeing, therefore, the events of providence fall out so opposite to each other upon the godly and ungodly, everything furthering the eternal good of the one and the ruin of the other, it cannot but be acknowledged a most important case in which every soul is deeply concerned whether the providences under which he is, the person, are sanctified to him or not. For the understanding of this, I shall premise two necessary considerations and then give the rules which will be useful for the resolution of the question. First, let it be considered that we cannot know from the matter of the things before us whether they are sanctified or unsanctified to us, for No man knoweth either love or hatred by all the things that are before him. All things come alike to all. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 1 and 2. We cannot understand the mind and heart of God by the things he dispenses with his hand. If prosperous providences befall us, we cannot say, this is a sure sign that God loves me. For who have more of the providences than the people of his wrath? They have more than heart could wish, Psalm 73, verse 7. Surely that must be a weak evidence for heaven, which accompanies so great a part of the world to hell. By these things we may testify our love to God, but from 10,000 such enjoyments, we cannot get any solid assurance of his love to us. And from adverse afflictive providences, we cannot know his hatred. If afflictions, great afflictions, many afflictions, long-continued afflictions, should set a brand or fix a character of God's hatred upon the persons on whom they fall, where then shall we find God's people in the world? We must then seek out the proud, vain, sensual wantons of the world who spend their days in pleasure and say, these are the men whom God loves, if that were the case. Outward things are promiscuously dispensed. They can be easily seen or obviously seen. And no man's spiritual state is discernible by the view of his temporal. When God draws the sword, it may cut off the righteous as well as the wicked, Ezekiel 21, verse 3. Secondly, though the providences of God, materially considered, afford no evidence of God's love to us, yet the manner in which they befall us and the effects and fruits they produce in us do distinguish them very manifestly. And by them we may discern whether they are sanctified providences and fruits of the love of God or not. Yet these effects and fruits of providences by which we discern their nature do not always appear immediately, but time must be allowed for the soul's exercise under them. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, Hebrews 12, verse 11. The benefit of a providence is discerned as that of a medicine is. For the present, it gripes and makes the stomach sick and loathing, but afterwards we find the benefit of it in our recovery of health and cheerfulness. Now, the providences of God are some of them comfortable, and others sad and grievous to nature, and the way to discern the sanctification and blessing of them is by the manner in which they come and their operations upon our spirits. I shall consider the case as it respects both sorts of providences and show you what effects of our troubles or comforts will show them to be sanctified and blessed to us. And first, for sad and afflictive providences, in whatever kind or degree they befall us, we may warrantably conclude they are blessings to us and come from the love of God when they come in a proper season, when we have need of them, either to prevent some sin we are falling into or recover us out of a remiss, supine, and careless frame of spirit into which we are already fallen. If need be, ye are in heaven, in heaviness, 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Certainly, it is a good sign that God designs your good by those troubles which are so fitted and wisely ordered to meet the need. If you see the husbandman pruning a tree in the proper season, it argues he aims at the fruitfulness and flourishing of it. But to do the same thing at midsummer speaks no regard to it, yea, his design is to destroy it. When our troubles are fitted both for quality and degree to work properly upon our most predominant corruptions, then they look like sanctified strokes. The wisdom of God is much seen in the choice of his rods, so like rods of affliction. It is not any kind of trouble that will work upon and purge every sin, but when God chooses for us such afflictions as, like medicine, are suited to the disease the soul labors under, this speaks divine care and love. Thus we may observe that it is usual with God to smite us in those very comforts which stole away too much of the love and delight of our souls from God, and to cross us in those things from which we raised up too great expectations of comfort. These providences show the jealousy of God over us and his care to prevent far worse evils by these sad but needful strokes. And so for the degrees of our troubles, sanctified strokes are ordinarily fitted by the wisdom of God to the strength and ability of our inherent grace. In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind, Isaiah 27, verse 8. It is an allusion to a physician who exactly weighs and measures all the ingredients which he mingles in a potion for his sick patient, that it may be proportionate to his strength and no more. And so much the next words intimate, by this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, that's verse 9. It is a good sign that our troubles are sanctified to us when they turn our hearts against sin and not against God. There are few great afflictions which befall men, but they make them quarrelsome and discontented. Wicked men quarrel with God and are filled with discontent against him. So the scripture describes them, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, Revelation 16, verse 9. But godly men, to whom afflictions are sanctified, they justify God and fall out with sin, or from it or against it. They condemn themselves and give glory to God. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, Daniel 9, verse 7. And wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins, Lamentations 3, verse 39. Happy afflictions, which make the soul fall out and quarrel only with sin. It is a sure sign that afflicting providences are sanctified when they purge the heart from sin and leave both heart and life more pure, heavenly, mortified, and humble than they found them. Sanctified afflictions are cleansers. They pull down the pride, refine earthliness, and purge out the vanity of the spirit. So you read in Daniel 11, verse 35, that it purifies and makes their souls white. Hence it is compared to a furnace which separates the dross from the pure metal. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Isaiah 48, verse 10. But for wicked men, let them be never so long in the furnace. They lose no dross. Ezekiel 24, verse 6. How many Christians can bear witness to this truth? After some sharp affliction has been upon them, how is the earthliness of their hearts purged? They see no beauty, taste no more relish in the world than in the white of an egg. Oh, how serious, humble, and heavenly are they, till the impressions made upon them by afflictions are worn off, and their deceitful lusts, and lust usually is more generally any corrupt desire of the heart, So their afflictions are worn off, and their deceitful lusts have again entangled them. And this is the reason why we are so often under the discipline of the rod. Let a Christian, says a late writer, be but 2 or 3 years without an affliction, and he is almost good for nothing. He cannot pray, nor meditate, nor discourse at that rate he was wont or often to do. But when a new affliction comes, now he can find his tongue and come to his knees again and live at another rate. Now, it is a good sign that afflictive providences are sanctified to us when we draw near to God under them and turn to him that smites us. A wicked man under affliction revolts more and more, Isaiah 1 verse 5, turneth not unto him that smiteth him, Isaiah 9 13, but grows worse than before. For malady is turned into stupidity, and that's, I believe, more like being in a stupor. So formality is turned into stupidity and indolence. But if God afflicts his own people with the sanctified rod, it awakens them to a more earnest seeking of God. It makes them pray more frequently, spiritually, and fervently than ever. When Paul was buffeted by Satan, he besought the Lord thrice, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. We may conclude our afflictions to be sanctified and to come from the love of God to us when they do not alienate our hearts from God, but inflame our love to him. This is a sure rule. Whatever ends in the increase of our love to God proceeds from the love of God to us. A wicked man finds his heart rising against God when he, God, smites him. But a gracious heart cleaves the closer to him, to God. He can love as well as justify an afflicting God. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, Psalm 44, verses 17 to 19. Here you have a true account of the attitude and frame of a gracious soul under the greatest afflictions. To be broken in the place of dragons and covered with the shadow of death imports the most dismal state of affliction. Yet even then, a gracious heart does not turn back, that is, does not for all this abate one drachm or dram of love to God. God is as good and dear to him, the afflicted one, in afflictions as ever. We may call our afflictions sanctified when divine teachings accompany them to our souls. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, Psalm 94, verse 12. Sanctified afflictions are eye salve. They teach us effectually when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, accompanies them. The evil of sin, the vanity of the creature, the necessity of securing things that cannot be shaken. Never does a Christian take a truer measure, both of his corruptions and graces, than under the rod. Now a man sees that filthiness that has been long contracting in prosperity, what interest the creature has in the heart, how little faith, patience, resignation, and self-denial we can find when God calls us to the exercise of them. Oh, it is a blessed sign that trouble is sanctified when a man thus turns in upon his own heart, searches it, and humbles himself before the Lord for the evils that he finds in it, or the evils of it. In the next place, let us take into consideration the other branch of providences which are comfortable and pleasant. Sometimes it smiles upon us. When he says it, he uses a neutral pronoun with providence often. Not that it that God is it, but he refers to providence in a neutral way, but definitely coming from God. Again, he says, sometimes it smiles, providence smiles upon us in successes, prosperity, and the gratification of the desires of our hearts. Here the question will be how the sanctification of these providences may be known by us. For resolution in this matter, I shall, for clearness' sake, lay down two sorts of rules, one negative and the other positive. Number one, negative. It is a sign that comfort is not sanctified to us, which does not come ordinarily in the way of prayer. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Psalm 10, verses 3 and 4. Here you see, providence may give men their heart's desire, and yet they never once open their desires to God in prayer about it. But then those gifts of providence are only such as are bestowed on the worst of men and are not the fruits of love. Whatever success, prosperity, or comfort men acquire by sinful means and indirect courses are not sanctified mercies to them. This is not the method in which those mercies are bestowed. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right or righteousness, Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better upon this account that it comes in God's way and with his blessing, which never follows the way of sin. God has cursed the ways of sin, and no blessing can follow them, or as a direct result of the sin, even though God overrules the outcomes for the good of his people. Whatever prosperity and success makes men forget God and cast off the care of duty is not sanctified to them. It is unsanctified prosperity which lulls men asleep into a deep oblivion of God. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Deuteronomy 32, verses 13 to 15. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And that was verse 18. There is little stench of sacrifice on the altars of the rich. When prosperity is abused to sensuality, and more generally, I believe that means just living by your senses or to please your senses. So when prosperity is abused to sensuality, and merely serves as fuel to maintain fleshly lusts, again, any corrupt desire of the heart, although including a sexual one, it can be, it is not sanctified. So when prosperity causes those or leads to those things, it is not sanctified. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave, Job 21, verses 11 to 13. It is a sign that prosperity is not sanctified to men when it swells the heart with pride and self-conceitedness. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Daniel 4, verses 29 to 30. That success is not sanctified to men, which takes them from off their duty and makes them wholly or fully negligent or very much indisposed to it. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore, say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. And that so wherefore means why. Why do the people say that we are lords, we are our own lords, we will come no more unto thee, O God? Jeremiah 2, verse 31. Nor can we think that prosperity sanctified, which wholly or fully swallows up the souls of men in their own enjoyments and makes them regardless of public miseries or sins. They lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the afflictions of Joseph. Amos 6, verses 4 to 6. That was the end of point one, what it is not, so the negative explanation. Point two, the positive one, what it is. Those mercies and comforts are undoubtedly sanctified to men which humble their souls kindly before God in the sense of their own vileness and unworthiness of them. And Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. Genesis 32, verses 9 and 10. Sanctified mercies are commonly turned into cautions against sin, Ezra 9, verse 13. They are so many bands of restraint upon the soul that has them to make them shun sin. They will engage a man's heart in love to the God of his mercies. Psalm 18, verse 1, it says cross-reference the title. They never satisfy a man as his portion, nor will the soul accept all the prosperity in the world upon that score, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, Hebrews 11, verse 26. Nor do they make men regardless, or not regarding, public sins or miseries, Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 3, compared with Acts 7, verse 23. It is a sure sign that mercies are sanctified when they make the soul more ready and enlarged for God in duty. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 17, verses 5 to 6. That which is obtained by prayer and returned to God again in due praise carries its own testimonials with it that it came from the love of God and is a sanctified mercy to the soul. And he says so much for the third case, which is the third point or the point of this section. And then he goes on to the next question. He says, how may we attain an evenness and steadiness of spirit under the changes and contrary aspects of providence upon us? But we are going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and then, Lord willing, pick up with that the next time. But until then, go seeking for a greater understanding of the mystery of providences, whether these things be sanctified to you or not. meditating on this point that Mr. Flavel brought forth this time. May we seek God in prayer. May these things be effectual by His Spirit in our hearts and draw us nearer to Him and bring out more love to Him and greater humility. And may we be thankful for them, certainly in the effects, in that knowing that they come from love to God. And if these things do not do these things to us, may we seek God that they do. And if it's because we don't have an interest in Christ Jesus, it's our prayer that you would seek Him this day to get an interest in Christ as your Savior. Seek Him until He grants that to you. Repentance and a humble submission for your sin and seeking salvation alone from the Lord Christ. And we pray that He blesses you with that and blesses you with these means of grace to your hearts. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.